getting ready to go into some of these doctrines in the future, because the church need to hear it. And you know, the church has suffered tremendously over the years. The church has suffered because preachers was afraid to sit down and explain the word of God because people would get upset. You should not get upset at the word of God. If you can read that word in your Bibles, it's there in your Bible, you should not get upset over the word of God. Whether you understand it or not, just wait and just pray. When you don't understand a scripture, don't get upset. And one thing you don't want to do is point a finger at God. See, that's what the devil wanted Job to do, to sin against God, to curse God. But the Bible said, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. When you don't understand something, don't charge God. Don't accuse God that he's partial, and why did he do it that way, and how come he saved some and he doesn't save the others, and if he predestinates some, and some was not predestined, and elect some. Do you understand that? The arguments that we get into, and you get yourself in trouble because Paul said, "Who art thou, O man?" In the ninth chapter of Romans. Go there a little bit before we come to Peter. What does it say in there? "Who art thou, O man?" In Romans, we had that last week, the ninth chapter, when Paul was explaining predestination, elections, foreordination. In the ninth chapter, anyone find that? That's a beautiful...
Verse 20? Yes.
Okay, go down to verse 20 and put that up there. And I just want to talk to you a little bit tonight, because when I get back from the Lord's willing from Tennessee, maybe the Lord will lead me into a real study of this, where we will look into things like foreordination, predestination, election, elect, the non-elect, children of wrath, vessels of mercy, and all these. You see, we need to have an understanding of the Word of God, mortification, regeneration. See, all these are in the Bible, and Paul and Peter and these apostles dealt with it, the mystery of God. And the churches don't do that. The churches want to just talk about natural things, money, clothes, houses. See, that's what the churches, most of the churches and pastor, you build your church in that. And that doesn't prepare anyone for the kingdom, because those are just natural things. But the people need to know the truth, the word of God. And when you take away predestination, when you take away foreknowledge, an election and all these, and you put there free will, that... you're saying, man is saying that God needs the help of man. You get that? God needs our help even in salvation, because I have a free will. I can obey or disobey God. It's my choice. I choose. Okay? So that would take away a predestination before the foundation of the world. That means God was not working before 6,000 years ago, or when he made Adam in the garden. And we begin to limit God and take God from that high exalted position, because the scripture said in Acts that known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world. When was that? And God is not just letting everything go blind, and tomorrow he doesn't know what's going on. In Matthew, I think it's in Matthew where Jesus was mentioning, take no thought about tomorrow, because God cares for you. God cares for you. Then he brought out Solomon was not arrayed like one of the lilies with all the glory of Solomon. You remember? And then he said, then Jesus made a statement where he said, the very hair on your head is numbered. Now, if you have a free will, can you tell me how many strand of hair is on your head? Can you tell me? Your free will could tell me that? Or tell me how many steps you've taken, or how many breaths you breathe. You've got a free will. Okay? Do you know all these things? So, man is not on the level or equal, or is free will cannot give him salvation. It cannot, salvation is of the Lord. So we want to get into some of these things, and because people doesn't know, and how are you going to break into the mysteries of God if you don't even know that God has power to predestinate? All right? He has power to foreknow. He has power to elect. All right? And if he elects someone, then he's partial. How could he do that? Or if you were predestinated, or you are not predestinated, you have no choice, and it's not fair to you. And we get into all kind of trouble trying to reason, because that's not in the spirit. That's reasoning. That's using the human mind. And the Bible said the natural mind cannot understand the things of God. So when you, with your reasoning, and you're trying to reason it out, you get in the flesh. You're getting into the sense realm, and that doesn't explain God, because God is another dimension. God is a spirit. Okay? God is spirit. He's a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him not in the flesh, not with human mind, but in the spirit. So when you begin to reason and try to figure it out by the mind, the natural minded man cannot understand the things of God. So you're going to get in trouble by just reasoning God or reasoning the Bible. That's why Peter said that men were ignorant and unlearned, rest the scripture. We had it Sunday night. To their own destruction. You can try to explain it, but you're doing it in the sense realm. You're trying to figure it out, and that's not the way. It has to come by a revelation. Amen. Okay, the Holy Spirit has to touch your mind. And that's why people wonder, how come I cannot understand the Bible? The Lord, by Spirit, has to touch our minds. It's not by might, nor by power, but it's by my Spirit. By my spirit, said the Lord. And the more you study the Bible and cry out to the Lord and ask God to touch your mind, and he begin to touch your mind, and you sit down in a Bible study that's explaining the Word of God, you're going to find that God's going to remove the darkness from our minds. Okay? And you're going to begin to see the things of the Spirit. You have to be taught. You cannot understand God with the natural mind. Okay? The Lord has to touch your mind and plant his word into your mind. It's God that has to do it. And you cannot figure out God. If God doesn't touch you, you just won't understand. And you'll get in trouble. You won't understand like Jacob I love. In Genesis, Malachi, Romans. But Esau have I hated. And someone says, see, Esau was just a little unborn baby and not doing evil or good. and God hate him. But you got to understand the word of God and the mysteries of the word of God. Because Paul, listen, I feel, before I go anywhere, I feel like going there in Ephesians, the third chapter. We had that Sunday morning, but I feel like going back and talking a little bit right here. In the third chapter, Paul of Ephesians was speaking about the mysteries that was hidden from ages and from generation in the third chapter. Okay, we can let me read from verse 1. Look at verse 1. Let's read. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, where's Paul's free will? Do you know that the prisoner doesn't have a free will? If you're taken, or a person is arrested, they become a charge of the state. When you're arrested, you're under, your freedom is taken away from you. You become a ward of the state. And you here's Paul now. Paul lost his free will on the road to Damascus. Remember, he had the letter and he was persecuting the saints of God, and he was going to Damascus to take prisoners. But what happened? On Damascus, he found out that Jesus was Lord. And it's hard to kick against the pricks. And a message was given to Paul by an aged disciple called Ananias when the Lord sent him. Ananias said, Lord, don't you know Paul? Saul, he was known as, how he's persecuting the Christians and so on, putting some of them to death. And he has a letter in his pocket. What did God say to Ananias? He is a chosen vessel. Did God ask Paul? Okay. So where was Paul's free will? He lost it on the road to Damascus. And your free will, you lost that when Christ called you. Because when Christ called you, you become a prisoner. I, the prisoner. I, the servant. Okay? Of the Lord. And he was a prisoner. And he said it right here. That he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Wait. For you Gentiles. God arrested Paul as a prisoner to send him to the Gentiles. Isn't that amazing? God can arrest you for a project. For a purpose. Esther was a prisoner. Although she was a queen, her chief purpose was to be there for the people of God. And Mordecai says, no doubt that you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. So when you find the purpose of God, or God leads you into His will, His purpose, you are God's free man. See? But you're not free to do your own thing, because He can send you to Nineveh like Jonah. And Jonah said, I'll go to Tarsus. Was it?
Yeah.
Damascus? Where was it? Tarsus. Okay, Jonah bought a ticket. And he went down because he knew he wasn't going anywhere. And fell asleep. But look at what God did. See? Look at what God did. While he was there sleeping, God was preparing a great fish. Okay? And Jonah got to Nineveh and preached and did what God says. And God did not violate his free will. The man bought a ticket, was sleeping. But it's the overriding will of God.
Amen.
Praise God. It's that overriding will of God. So we want to find out how great God is. Because if God could not override your will and my will, we would not be saved. Because it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You see, but the path of the just, that's a justified one. The path that's directed by God. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And here in there's so many scriptures in my mind. He said, if he heard of the dispensation of God, dispensation of the grace of God, which is given, notice, which is given, something is given. It had to be given to you. The will of God, the call of God, not something you get up there and your choice. I choose this. I chose to be a pastor. No, it's the choice of God. He says that he gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets, and he gave some, look at it, teachers, and he gave some evangelists. And all of these gifts is from God. And he gave to the church. He raised up apostles, gifts, ministry, administration in the church. All right? So he said, verse 3, he's asking them, he said, showing them about the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me, to you, Lord. How? That by revelation he made known unto me what? The mystery. By revelation. By revelation. He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. He wrote it in Romans and other places. And now he's going back again, because it was so much for the saints of God to give it all at one time. And here he's speaking about it in verse 4. Whereby, when you read. See, you have to read. What did it say? When you what?
When you read.
You don't read that Bible and you put the Bible down, you're not going to understand these mysteries. You go to sleep in church. You take God for granted. And you believe that you're already equipped. Because of unbelief, you're not studying, you're not reading the Bible, you're not coming to church like you should. Amen. And you never know. You have not set a track record of serving the God. Because nobody knows when you're going to be in church, and nobody knows when you're going to be out of church, so you've set a bad track record. So nothing can be built upon you or depend upon you because of your record. Yeah. Now, it says, whereby when you read. Is anybody here reading?
Yes.
Don't say yes if you're not.
Yes.
Is anyone here reading?
Yes.
Studying the Bible?
Yes.
Oh, don't just nod your head lightly and say yes. Okay? Said whereby when you read, you may understand. That's powerful. My knowledge in the mysteries of Christ. Which? No, in other ages. That's going to make you think. Other ages? So, were there ages past in other ages? And how long were those ages? Okay, in other ages. What were those ages? Because known unto God are all his works from before the foundation of the world. So let me ask a question. So, did something happen in other ages that we don't know? If God is from everlasting to everlasting, what was God doing before the foundation of the world? When Proverbs chapter 8 tells us something happened, that he was daily the delight of his Father, that's Jesus. And then his delight was with the sons of men. What sons of men? What sons of men? Was it us or? Because you've got to understand that we were in Christ. I mean, we were in God the Father before he placed us in Christ. Amen. God gave us to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is to bring us back to the Father. He's to bring many sons unto glory. The work of God didn't just begin yesterday. And God is not just working out something. The scripture said, known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world. God has been working from everlasting, because he is before all things. The scripture said about Jesus, and by him in Colossians, all things consist. So when we're dealing with God, the closest a way you're going to begin to understand God is through words like foreknowledge, predestination. What is that doing? That begin to take us and give us an insight as to what went on in other ages. Otherwise, you'll never know nothing. If you depend on just your free will, sometimes my free will can't even remember where the key's at. Or in my park, have you ever parked your car in the parking lot and, you know, your free will can't find it? See, and we're limited. And you don't know very much. We don't know very much. And you don't have to live 100 years before you start to forget everything. So how are we going to help God when we can't even go 100 years without forgetting? But we need to look at the word of God. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, true predestination. Then we had another scripture there in Romans 8. You turn there. I'll stay right here, but I'm coming back to Ephesians 3. But in Romans 8, this thing is beautiful. In Romans 8, go to verse 29, and let's read it quickly. Whom he did foreknow. Verse 29. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So he's the firstborn of many firstborn. Now that's awesome. Verse 30 says, Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now I want to look at, go back to verse 29. Now, for whom, let go to verse 28. Let me see what's there. And we know, look at this. All things work together for good to them that love God. Not your free will, but to them that love God. To them who are the called. See that word called? How? Not my will, but thy will be done. According to his purpose. 29. For whom he did, and go slow right here, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. He foreknow them. Okay? What does it mean to foreknow? Beforehand. When was that? See, you're not dealing with man, and you're not dealing with time. You're dealing with God. Amen. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now, if you bring God over into your time and you begin to think as a man concerning God, then you'll never get it. But you've got to think it's a mystery. It's a revelation. Okay. By the Spirit of God. And the carnal-minded man cannot receive the things of God. And he said, but I'm not carnal mind. But you're trying to reasoning out and figure out the plan of God. And when you cannot do it with your mind, you say, well, that's not so. Or you begin to blame God. Jacob of I love, but Esau of I hated. You have to find out the reason what went on. There's got to be a reason. And the purpose. And until you know these mysteries, then you might as well stay on your knees and pray. So for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Notice what he did. Predestinate, not to have your way and do it whatever. Or he didn't predestinate anybody to be lost. Here's what he did. Read the scripture. He predestinate to be conformed. To what? To be conformed to the image of his son Jesus Christ, who is holy, righteous. Let me finish this, and I'll go to another. Find me 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1. Somebody just leave that and read it for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Somebody start reading it. 1 Corinthians 1. Come on. But of him, notice this now, because I'm trying to tie a few things together. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. So you're in Christ Jesus. Who of God, what? Who of God is made, is what? Made unto us. What did he make? Remember now, we were predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that's Jesus Christ. And if we are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, who is this Jesus Christ? And what has he got for us? And who is he to us? We're conformed to his image. Amen. So what will that do for us? Here's what it does for us. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, predestinated. Who of God is made unto us what? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and what? And what translation is that? It's glorification or redemption, right? The other translation said glorification, and someone slipped redemption. What translation is that? Huh? The same? But does it say sanctification in the old? Redemption? And glorification? All right, okay. But anyway, yeah. Redemption, and the next one is what? Glorification over in Romans. Yes, that's it. Yeah, it's Romans. I'm mixing it up. Now, but look, but notice what he is right there. This is what Jesus is. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We were made to be conformed to this. You're not shouting. We were made, predestination made us conformed. I wish I had a church that would think. To the image of his son. I wish I had a bright church. To be conformed to the image of his son. What's that? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now, go back to Romans. Verse 30 now. Therefore, there is therefore, Romans 8, 31. Come on. 30. Go to 30. Go to 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also, one, called, and whom he called, them he also justified. That's the word I was looking for. Justification. And notice now, whom he justified, them he also glorified. So, if we were made to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, we are going to get the wisdom. We're going to get righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Does that make you a carnal or a spiritual man? Okay. Now, so Romans join in and says, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called in time. Predestinated in eternity, foreknown in eternity, but called in time by the gospel. And that's where the mystery that was hid from generation, from ages, is begin to reveal all that Christ in you. The hope of glory. And if Christ is in you, you have the wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Christ in you. The what? The hope of glory. So, where is He taking us? From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, because God, our Father, is the Father of glory. So predestination is not showing God His respect as a person, because He's not. But really, is those that are willing to follow God all the way. And so, now, those, He justifies you. He calls you, right? And then He justifies you. Now, here we are now, in time. He called us in time. But look at the long predestination. Look at the long program where God has been leading us and taking us from foreknowledge. And He hasn't failed. Predestination, and He has not failed. Coming over in time, He called and began to reveal Christ in us. Here's the mystery. Christ in us. Because for Christ to be in us, we're justified and sanctified. And if we are being justified right now, and sanctified, redeemed, filled with wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, all of that's going on right here in the church. You're being clothed with the righteousness of God. And the work is being done right now. So when you're not in church and not paying attention, you're not getting your wedding garments. You're not being clothed with the righteousness of God, the image of God. You're wasting time. You're going to lose out. Because you can't get in there naked and clothed. But here's what's going on right now. Whom He justified. Are we justified? How? By faith in Christ Jesus. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That means we are no more children, or we are not children of wrath. Amen. Ah, Lord. Amen. So look at the track record. Look at where we are. We can point out where we are right now because we are justified right now. Are you justified? Yes. By faith. Yes. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saves us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. We are being sanctified. Jesus said, Father, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. So that's going on right now. Amen. Why do you have to go to church? To get justified, sanctified, because this is where we are. And because of this, the mystery that Paul received to reveal it to the Gentiles, you will receive it. Gentiles. You're Gentiles, okay? And you need that. You will receive it. But we are right now being sanctified, being justified right now. But notice he brought us from foreknowledge, predestination, called, justification right now, or sanctification, whatever you want to call it. So what, how many steps left? How many? So if he become a good work in you from everlasting and brought you tonight, here you are in church being justified. One more step. And what is that step? To be glorified means you're perfected in the image of Jesus Christ. And the work is completed. I said the work is completed. So you don't have a long way to go. It could be any day now. Hallelujah. And right now we do. It doesn't look like and appear what you shall be. But when he shall come appear, we will be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And as we are born the image of the first Adam, we will bear the image of the last Adam, which is a glorified image. An image in the image of God. I mean, look how far we've come. And it's silly for somebody to quit church, backslide, stay home when you're just at the finishing line. Amen. A few more steps and you're crossing into glorification. Because Jesus is to bring many sons unto glory. While you're fooling out here and talk about you have your free will. You ought to say, Lord, I'm a prisoner. Stretch forth your hands and let another lead you. Come on, stretch forth your hands. He told Peter that. He said, when you were a child, you gird yourself. You did what you want to do. You're free. But when you become a man, you won't close yourself anymore. You won't gird yourself anymore. You'll stretch forth your hands and let another lead you where you would not. Because you and I cannot find the kingdom without the help of God. He has to lead us all the way. What a awesome journey. One more step. And that's glorification. And he will complete it. He cannot fail. His will be done. And here's what Paul said here. This is, go back to it in closing. Says, here's the mystery. Here's the mystery. Ephesians. Chapter 3. You remember I was in Ephesians 3? What verse? About the mystery to the Gentiles. The revelations to the Gentiles. Verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, look at this, should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. In Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gifts of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of the power. That's the Holy Spirit. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace or mystery given. Verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I, here it is, should preach among the Gentiles. Here's what he called it now. Come on, shout. That I should preach to the Gentiles. What? Not only glory. Okay? Not only glory, but he calls it the unsearchable, something that cannot be found out by searching. That's how much God has for you. And you worrying about a little car. You can't believe God for a little job. You can't believe God for a little promotion. You get all scary. But when you study the Word of God and you begin to trust God by faith and not by sight, and begin to follow the Word of God instead of turn off some of those television preachers. Amen. And begin to look at the Bible.
Yes.
Here's what. And you worrying about sending $100 and you get $1,000. Don't let anybody deceive you. Here's what's promised to you. The unsearchable. Can somebody tell me what that means? The unsearchable riches of Christ. That's the riches of his glory. And he's to bring many sons here. The unsearchable, something that cannot be found out. Riches beyond finding out. The unsearchable,
verse 9, and to make
all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid. Where? Hid something hid in God. But now it's coming out. It's revealed out of God for us.
Yes.
It's not hid anymore in God. But it's revealed to the holy apostles and saints. For you and I tonight. And I'm telling you. The unsearchable riches of Christ. That's there for you tonight. Do you want it? Or do you want to stay home and sleep? You don't want to come to church. You want a vacation. You get excited about a gift. Instead of this here, unsearchable riches.
Amen.
So Jesus told the Laodicean, I would that you say you're rich. I would that you'd buy of me gold, real gold. Counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire. That you really be rich. And here it goes on, says that rich, the mystery of the fellowship, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. But thank God we're finding it out tonight. You ought to shout and tell everybody about it. Instead of, listen, you sit there and you're so dead. You sometimes you sit there and you're dead. Come on, come alive. With this, you ought to get a hold of it and love God. Don't just sit there. Come on, don't just sit there. Get this in your heart. It's a mystery of his will that was hid from generations. Come on, church. Get this mystery. Get the fire in your bone. Love God. Come alive. Get that, this, come on, alive. The mystery of Israel. It was hid from ages and generation, but now it's revealed to us. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent. Here's the intent. Oh my Lord. What was his intent? You're accusing God of being one side or partial or whatever it might be. Not fair. But look at what here. To the intent. That now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. Wait. By the church or through the church. Okay, not angels teaching us anything. This is where we go wrong when you're looking for an angel to teach you. No, it's they will know through the church. What will they know? The manifold wisdom of God. According. Woo! According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Verse 12. Go to verse 12.
Verse 12,
That's 14. 12. 13. 14. 12. Read verse 12. In whom? In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. That means boldness and access, you can go within the veil. Okay, go to in closing. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause, of course, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family. You see, many of you in here tonight, you're family, right? You have children. They're yours. Okay? They're given to you by God. They're yours. Okay. Sister Anita, you have your children. Sister Angie have hers. Okay? Well, why didn't God give you Angie's children or Angie's children to you? Is he partial?
No.
Huh? But you have a family, right? That's your family. You know your family. Don't you think God should have a family?
Amen.
God's a family man?
Yes.
And everybody's not his children. No more than everybody's your children. Can somebody blame you if Sister Anita's children is not yours? Do you get that? Right? So don't blame God if God has his own children. Oh, come on, you know you are. Don't you know your children? You got children, don't you know them?
Amen.
Well, why didn't God give you Ronald's children and give him your, you know? Why, you know? Is he partial because he did that and unfair?
No.
But that's what people are saying, because God has his own family. God as a family, of whom the whole family of God in heaven and earth is named. He's a family man. He's got children in heaven. And he's got children on the earth. We are the children of God. So you don't understand the Bible and don't accuse God of, because he's got his children and the devil has his children. You know, you didn't know that? Children of the devil. They don't want God. Many of them cry out, crucify with him, away with him. We don't want this man to rule over you. While others, his children, were crying, sir, if you know where they lay him, tell me. And I will take him away. And then he said, Mary, and she heard. She understood. She knew his voice. My sheep knows my voice. And they follow me. Well, are you a sheep? Well, follow the Lord. Get the Bible out. Come on, study the Bible. Go to church. Praise the Lord. Get on fire. Witness. Tell everybody about Jesus. Don't just sit down and don't know the word of God and argue against the word of God. Amen. Is that it?
Yeah, there's more.
All right then. Said that he would grant you according to what? Do you understand where we're going?
Yeah.
To glory. That's the next step. Don't turn back. Don't slip. Don't backslide. Don't let the devil get you mixed up. You're that close to your crown. You don't. I know you sit there. You don't believe. You don't. Many of you don't even know what I'm talking about. Get more excited about the word of God than a steak or a hamburger, because that's for the natural. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, not free will. Not works of righteousness we have done. It's to believe him. He said it, I believe it. He said predestination, foreknowledge is right, I believe that. Yeah. I might not understand it, but because he said it, I believe it.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know.
Yeah.
And if he said the next step is call and justification and then glorification and whatever, yeah. I believe that. And I believe that we are just that close.
Yeah.
One step more. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that he being rooted, look at that, and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height of this mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Come on, begin to get it. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all. Come on, what, Luther? With what? How much? With all the fullness of God. That's the purpose of eternal life. That, my Lord, that you would be full. My God, I feel life. I feel God. That you might be full. I'm trying to wake you up. So you'll get full. Look it up for you. That you might be full. Full of glory. Full of glory. Now unto him that is able to do, yes he can, exceeding, predestination, foreknowledge, call, all of that, chosen in him before the foundation of the world, to do exceeding, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according, how? According, according, not according to your own ways or mine, but according to the power, that's the Holy Ghost, that worketh in us. That power that's working in us. He begun a good work. He'll never leave you. But that power is going to bring you to glory. Somebody ought to shout. Unto him. See that where? Here's what's going on. He's led you from foreknowledge, predestination, call, sanctification, justification, now glorification. Here. But you're in the church. Right? It speaks about the church. Right? Known in the church, the manifold wisdom of God. One of the manifold wisdom of God, so that you come into a knowledge of where you are, who you are, and how close you are to that glory. Ah, now here's the next step. You're going to step over. You're going to get over in that glory. Because that's the next step. Unto him. It's got to come to the church to move you on over. So if you're in a dead old church, not no glory, no praise, you better wake up. If you're not reading and praying and glorifying the Lord, here it is now. It's sealed off. Unto him be glory in the church. Come on. We're going from glory to glory. And that's the glory you're going to move over into. Unto him be glory. Where? In the church. By Christ Jesus. Throughout all ages. Including now. All ages. World without end. Amen. My Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody shout. Woo. He's to bring many sons unto glory. Unto him be glory in the church. Both now. Listen. Both now. And forever. World without end. Throughout the ages. World without end. Amen.